Luke chapter 15, Jesus is once again at odds with the Pharisees over his dining habits. He's receiving sinners and eating with them, and after being judged and complained against by the Pharisees, he's going to meet the issue head on by telling us three parables which challenge their exclusionary practices, but also invite them into the feast. Among these three parables, we have the common themes of a need for repentance, God's joy in finding the lost, and the recovery of that which was lost is always dependent on the one who is seeking them. We start off with the parable of the lost sheep. The leaders of Israel were often called shepherds, including the priests and religious leaders. But in Ezekiel 34, God condemns their constant failure for not giving the flock guidance, healing, or seeking after the lost. The parable is how Jesus shepherds his people. We might think it unwise to leave 99 sheep and go after the one. We don't even know if we would find it, and we might have opportunity costs in mind. How much time am I going to spend searching, and how much time do I have away from the flock before they come at risk? Losing sheep would probably be expected, but losing only one might even be something worth celebrating in our minds. But this shepherd only celebrates once he's found that one lost sheep. The sheep has done nothing to deserve the search and rescue operation, which was something that even later Christian writers struggled with. For example, in the apocryphal Gospel of Thomas, saying 107, rephrases this parable as Jesus only going after the sheep because it was the biggest and most important sheep. And after finding it, he says, "I love you more than the other 99. But God seeking after his people has nothing to do with his people and has more to do with God's grace. Now, some of us might be a little perplexed when Jesus says that he rejoices over the one who was lost and now found than over the 99 who need no repentance. He's not saying that the Pharisees are flawless. The third parable is going to invite them to repent. It's simply an expression of the overwhelming joy that God has over finding even just one sinner. Jesus moves on now to the parable of the lost coin. And the coin is quite valuable. It's a full day's wage. We would go hunting for it as well. But the search is difficult. In Palestinian homes of that day, the homes didn't have windows. It was dark, and with the earthen floors, it was very easy for it to get buried by the dirt and all the mess on the floor. But this woman refuses to take the stance that it will show up sooner or later. 9 coins aren't good enough. And after she finds it, we once again have this excessive amount of joy over a single coin, just like the sheep. And then from here, we move on to the parable of what is often called the prodigal son. It's a very familiar parable, and easily one of our more favorite ones. Even though it's called the parable of the prodigal son, I'd argue that it's actually better called the parable of the father. He's the main character, and he's the one with 2 sons that he hopes to reconcile with. The first son, though, he wants nothing more to do with his father. He says that he wants his inheritance now. And what he's saying through this is that he no longer wants to be part of or attached to this family. And so his emotional distance from the father slowly turns into physical distance as he gathers everything up and goes to a distant country. And while he's there, he ends up with wild living. And through this is responsible for his own downfall. The money runs out, there are no more friends to drink with or depend on, and soon he finds out that he's alone. Further circumstances press him even more. There's a famine, and so he's forced to join himself to a citizen of that country. Not just hired, but even becoming a citizen himself by being hired by him. And he's so poor that he longs for the poorest food given to the pigs that he has to feed. And this is often where we might find ourselves as well. We have no one to blame for our distance from God but ourselves. And even though we might have thought it might have been a life full of independence and freedom and fun times, eventually the fun runs out, and then we realize that life is actually a lot better with the Father. So the son returns. After coming to himself, he can now come back to the Father. But he says to himself only as a servant. He's renounced himself as a son due to his unworthy actions. But as he approaches his father, the father sees him from a far distance. And instead of sitting there on the front porch, arms crossed, tapping his toes with an angry glare on his look, we're told that he runs to him. And he won't hear the confession. Instead, he gives him a robe, a ring, and sandals, restoring him to his full position. and once again, we have a party. In all three parables, we see that God is the one seeking for that which was lost, and he's always keeping his eye out for those wanting to return. It's important that we remember that our God runs to us when we repent and celebrates our return to him. This is why Jesus dines with the sinners, because he's diligently seeking everyone who's been lost, and once found, he likes to feast with them. But what about the Pharisees, who grumbled all about this in the first place? Well, the parable of the father concludes with the older brother, the one out in the field dutifully carrying out his father's work. When he hears of his brother's return, he can't be anything but envious and bitter. He disowns his brother by calling him your son, and he wonders why the father is so happy for the renegade brother while he has been out working all this time, and insists that he should be rewarded, but never has been. And so there's a contrast between these two brothers. The younger one humbles himself and confesses his sin. The older one only insists on what he believes to be rightfully his. The younger renounces his sonship to become a servant, while the older one resents his service to the father. But still, the father invites him into the banquet as well. Jesus is not dining with sinners to the exclusion of all others. He wants everyone to join in with the feast. The door is open, the party is happening, and the only thing preventing this brother from joining is himself. The parable ends without any conclusion. Do the brothers reconcile? Does everybody come together as a big happy family and enjoy this restoration? Well, the story is left open because the older brother are the Pharisees who are hearing it. It's us, as we see sinners coming into our church. And as such, we're being asked to make a decision. Are we going to join in the feast with Jesus and the sinners whom he's found? Or are we going to stand outside by ourselves, warming ourselves with nothing more than thoughts of our own worthiness? The Pharisees only murmur at Jesus, committing the same sins of the fathers who left Egypt and murmured against God in the wilderness. We can be like that older brother and reject sinners, but in doing so, we reject God with them. The door is open for us to join Jesus' great party. We just have to open our hearts in turn.